praise the Lord together.
I'll praise in the valley, praise in the mountain. I'll praise when I'm short, I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemy's drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, I'll praise when I feel it, praise when I don't.
As we continue launching this modern service and getting a feel for how this all works, we are going to do children's time in just a second, and the kids are going to come forward on this little steps, and we're going to see how that works in here. It's a new environment for all of us. So if you are new to the church, if you're visiting for the first time, there are some yellow cards in the pew in front of you. We would love to have you fill that out, and there's a table outside called Guest Connection. And we would love to get some information about you and give you information about the church as well. So if you are new, please do that. We would love to get to know you. Kids, why don't y'all come on up so we can do children's time? All right. I have this little picture right here. Do any of y'all know what this picture is? Do you know what this picture is? What's the picture? What is it, Emma? It is a picture of a carnival. It's a special picture of a carnival. Do you know what it is? It's a hide-and-seek game in this picture. Have y'all ever heard of Waldo? No? You've never heard of Waldo? Wall ball? Yeah, this is Waldo. Waldo wears a red and white stocking hat, and he has big black glasses, and this little hide and seek game is you look in this picture and you see if you can find him. Have y'all found, you found him? You found him, Duke? Yeah. Okay, now, finding somebody when they're really missing is not a game, right? That's a really serious thing when somebody is actually missing. But there have been little Jesuses that I've hidden all over the church. Did y'all find some today? Did you? You haven't seen any? You see one up there? Oh, look, there's one right there. Yeah. It's these little guys right here, just like this. They're hidden all over the church. I've got it right here. And as you can see, oh, you've got one, James. You found one. So they're all over the church. Sometimes when you think about it, we forget that Jesus is with us, right? Yeah, so I want to read some scriptures to you today. And this was when Jesus was with the disciples. It was before he passed away, before he died on the cross and was buried in the tomb. Jesus was doing healing. There were people that were sick, and they were looking for him because they wanted him to heal their relatives. And they couldn't find him. Jesus had woken up, and he was praying to God and spending time with his Father in heaven. And these friends of his didn't know where to find him. Simon Peter couldn't find him. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 36 and 37. Listen, and it says, and he's, helps if I find the right location. Mark 1, verse 36 and 37. Simon and his companions searched for him. And when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. That's what they told Jesus. Everyone is looking for you. Have you ever been hiding and someone was looking for you? Yes, well, Jesus wasn't hiding. He was talking to God, making sure he made time for that. And Jesus said to them, let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have came. So Jesus came to make himself known so that others would know that he is God's son. So in that, he also shared with us the Great Commission. And at that time, Jesus told all his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded with you. And remember, I am with you always to the ends of the earth, in the ends of the age. So Jesus said, he's always with us. It doesn't matter if we have a little pocket Jesus to remind us, or if we find him hidden all over the church. Jesus is with us always. When we become a follower of him, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we are with him always, and he is with us always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus. Thank you that we don't need a little toy to remind us, but it is a good reminder that you are always with us. Even when we think we're alone, you are with us. Help us to tell others about that as well. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Okay. As we continue to worship, we remember that it is only because of Christ alone that we're here. Will you stand and worship with us, please?
Cornerstone.
Spoke your name into the
Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared.
Just voices.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ.
God, that He is our living hope. As we continue our act of worship, I want to encourage you to turn this worship in our tithes and offerings. There are several ways that you can give in your worship, in your tithes and offerings. You can do it online, and the QR code is found in your bulletin. We also have some boxes on the double doors on the right-hand side and on the single door on the left-hand side near the light switch. You can give your tithes and offerings. But do so in such in a way of worship, of being thankful for what God has blessed you with and has given you, and as you turn back and give back to God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the many blessings that you have given us. You have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, but it does not stop there. You rose again victoriously as we sing and praise your name. Father, be with us today as we worship you and praise you and give back. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
My shepherd, and he is everything I need, so I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He says that he loves me, he said that he's with me, even though I walk through the valley. shadow and death, and still I know He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. My
Sorry for the squeal. Wasn't sure I was going to be able to use this mic or not. We'll go with this. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you know us and you love us anyway. And we thank you that because you know us, you know what we need, you know how best to provide, and you do have good plans for each of us. Jesus, you told us that you came to give us life, to give it to the full. We'll talk about that a little bit today. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would remind us that we are to live resurrected lives. And today, as we focus on one characteristic of that resurrected life, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us, that we would truly grasp and understand that we are to be a people of hope because you are the God of hope. Help us to remember today that hope only comes from you. We can look for it other places. We can strive to have hope in different people or our own abilities. But, Father, remind us today that true hope, your hope, only comes from you. And apart from you, there is no hope. So may we be encouraged today to know that, again, you do love us. And you offer us a life full of hope and joy and peace, free for the taking when we surrender ourselves to you. Be glorified in all that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get started today, I want to say a special thank you. There's some guys in the room, I think, that worked yesterday on a project out in the apartments behind us here, and had about 10 guys out there working. And it was a project. I told the first service today, I said, I'm a believer and I am raised to walk with him in hope, but I'm standing before you today because of a leave. That's the only way I'm able to stand here, because my body is not accustomed to doing manual labor like I did yesterday. But that the reason I bring that up is we've got some things work in the works for the men of our church. And so I just want to encourage you. When I came 9 years ago, there was a men's prayer breakfast that happened on Tuesdays at, like, I don't know, before Jesus got up, but about like 6 a.m. And it was really early. And that was going strong. And then COVID shut everything down. And it just hasn't come back. And so there is some interest from some guys to get together probably around lunchtime during the week for a Bible study and a prayer time. And so if you're interested in that, call the church office, let us know, because we're just trying to figure out what day would be best. And there may even be a sign-up sheet. I don't know that made its way down here or not. But anyway, just trying to put that together. And John Campione is going to be leading that. And so I just encourage you, if you're interested in that, to let us know. So last week, we really kind of tried to carry on, and I want to continue this week and even next week, carry on this idea of the importance of Easter. It's so easy for us to come, and we did. We came on Easter Sunday, and we celebrated an empty tomb. We sang wonderful anthems. We had praise, and we thought about the importance of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, but it didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. He went into the tomb, and then he rose again. And so the power of that resurrection. But what we talked about last week, and I wanted to encourage us, and I want to encourage us again today, is it's so easy for us to take our eyes off of that importance and let life get in the way, let life happen to where we lose focus on what God has called us to, what he has offered us in his redemption through that cross and through that resurrection. And so I want us to continue to think about that. And today I want to focus specifically on one characteristic, the characteristic of hope. We are to be a people of hope. And so I want us to be thinking about the fact that resurrection brings hope. apart from the resurrection, there really wouldn't be hope. There would just be a guy that was a good teacher that was executed, and that was the end of it. In fact, if there were no resurrection, we wouldn't be here today. And so because of that resurrection, we can have life. I use this statement on Easter Sunday. I'm going to say it again today. There's no other event in history that redefines human existence, as does the resurrection of Christ. It changes everything. It changes who we are to be. It gives us hope. And I used this last week. I'm going to probably use it again next week, so just fair warning. But we need to remember that we are to be buried with him so that we can be raised by him in order to walk with him and for him. So today I want us to focus on what that walking looks like. What does it mean to follow Jesus on your day-to-day life? What should we be exhibiting that people would see the difference in us? Because that's the main thing. That's what we need to keep in mind. If we come to church in order to be seen, because it's a place to be, then it's nothing more than belonging to a country club. The church is not about a social gathering, although there's fellowship, and we need to be together. But the church exists to make disciples, to share the good news of the gospel, the good news that Jesus came and died for us and rose again to take away our sins and defeat death. That good news we need to be sharing and then making disciples. And that's what the church exists to be about. And so, if that's the case, and that's scriptural, then our lives should truly point people to him. And if our lives aren't pointing people to him, then we're missing it. And so I just want to remind us and encourage us that we are to live for him each and every day. And there are things that people ought to see in us that don't make sense to anyone outside of faith. If people outside of faith look at me and can't tell any difference, then why would they ever choose faith? There should be a difference. And one of those differences, I think, is hope. And so I want us to focus on hope. And if nothing else happens today for you in this time, looking at this passage, I want you to grasp this. We can have hope in a world that needs hope desperately. But we need to remember where hope comes from. And hope comes from the Father through the resurrection. The passage today that I want us to look at and focus on is 1 Peter chapter 1. And theologians, scholars would tell you that the overall theme of this entire book of 1 Peter is talking about the lifestyle. How do we live a life of faith? What should we be focused on? What should we be doing? And so I think it fits very well with what we're talking about in this idea of the power of the resurrection and how it affects how we live every day. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, beginning in verse 3, we're going to read 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. That is the hope that we have in him. The writer says that we are to give praise. Praise be to God. Our hope comes from him. Praise be to God for this living hope that he offers us. Hope that is living, opposed to hope that is dead. Many would say that Peter was getting at the fact that the hope that the children of Israel had up to this point was truly dead hope because it wasn't built on a relationship. In fact, Harry Ironside, a theologian and preacher, he was the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago for a number of years, right in the middle of the 1900s. He said this, Israel's hope was dead because of their failure to fulfill the terms of the covenant entered into at Sinai. Our confidence rests not on any ability of our own to carry out certain promises, but is according to the abundant mercy which God has bestowed upon us and which is assured to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Think about that for a minute. Our hope, biblical hope, the hope that comes from God, is not dependent on us. We should say praise God right there. It is not dependent on us. Hope, living hope, is dependent on Him. We are free, and He offers us hope through a new birth. So what we see here in this idea of living hope, it comes from this new birth. It is different than any other hope. And you've heard me talk about hope before, most likely if you've been here. But hope is not wishful thinking. It's not like saying, man, I hope it warms up in here because I'm freezing. Or if you're in my spot, I hope it cools off in here because I'm starting to sweat. You can never make people happy, just so you know. In my first church, this is a little side note. In my first church, I got this complaint all the time. I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm hot, I'm cold. This is going to sound really evil. I don't mean it to. But what we did is we put a thermostat on the wall. It didn't go to anything. But people would go over and turn it, and they would feel better. Back to what I was talking about. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It's not some childish idea that God is going to miraculously make my life better, take away my problems. In fact, if you are a follower of Jesus and you know Scripture, then you know Jesus said, follow me and what? It's going to be rainbows and roses and unicorns, right? Not in Scripture. Not there. What he said is, follow me. And you're going to have troubles. The world hates me. They're going to hate you. But then he gave us a promise. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you, as Ginger's already used in the Great Commission, to the end of the age. That's a promise we can hold on to. And that's where we find our hope, because our hope comes from him. And we know that he is faithful. And so hope is not wishful thinking. Hope, biblical hope, living hope, is a confident conviction. A confident conviction that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he says he will do. It is knowing. That is biblical hope. Knowing that he's bigger than anything we face. It's not a half-hearted belief that God might be God and we're just going to put some trust there because, you know, we're going to hedge our bets. It is a confident conviction of knowing that he is bigger, he is in control, and that he has a plan. Just like we just sang, he has a plan, and that plan is a plan for a meaningful life. Jesus said, I came to give life and give it to the full. And so we can have hope, this living hope, knowing that God knows us, that God loves us, and that he has a plan for us. And that plan is better, bigger than anything we would ever experience, anything that we would ever dream up for ourselves. That's what he has for us. Our hope is a living hope because Jesus is alive, because he rose again, and we can trust, and we know that he's bigger. If God can raise him from the dead, God can give you a meaningful life. But it starts with surrender. It starts with that burial that we talked about last week, being buried with him in order to be raised by him so that we can live for him. Living hope begins when we are reborn. If you look back at this passage, he says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, think about the mercy. How many of us in this room deserve to be forgiven by God? Not one of us deserves that forgiveness, but it's his mercy that he offers it for us even when we don't deserve it. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. New birth. It's very similar to the idea that Jesus uses when He's talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when He says, you must be what? Born again. And Nicodemus is trying to figure that out. Okay, how's that going to happen? But it's this idea of being reformed. And so the writer of 1 Peter here says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope. He's given us new birth. The hope that Jesus offers, this living hope, brings us life, something new, something fresh. His hope truly transforms. This hope is something that is different than anything we can experience outside of faith. It's this conviction of knowing. When we truly know, we no longer have to worry, right? I mean, if we really know the outcome, we don't really have to think about the possible catastrophe. We know the outcome. We already know. We have hope, a living hope, knowing that God is bigger than anything we face. And this hope is something that should be with us, that we should experience on a daily basis. And let me tell you, if you watch the news, it's hard to find hope, right? If you see what's going on around us in the world, it's hard to find hope. But when we remember that Jesus has already overcome the world, then we find hope. Some of you may know this about me. I don't know. My undergraduate degree is actually a dual degree in Bible and in English. And there was hope, I guess, that maybe I could learn the language. But one of the things I love about English as a discipline is poetry. And if you're familiar, Emily Dickinson was an American poet in the 19th century. And she says this about hope. And I just found it touched me. So it may not touch you. Take it for what it's worth. But she says, hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. That part in us, that hope that perches in the soul, I love that image, that it's there because Jesus is there. And it doesn't stop. Living hope is not a dead hope. It's hope that's made real and alive by the resurrection. Living hope is not wishful thinking, but confident conviction. It's knowing that God is who He says He is and that He'll do what He says He will do. In the beginning of this verse, this passage, it says, praise be to God. Where does hope come from? It comes from Him. The author is telling us, praise Him because the hope is coming from Him. It's coming through the resurrection. He gives us new birth into a living hope through that resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we are to praise Him. I thank God every day that my life does not depend on me. I've done things on my own. Doesn't always end well. But praise God that He loves us enough to show us that mercy, to offer us that new birth into a living hope. That hope comes from Him. It's not hope in anything else, not leaders, not governments, not our own abilities. It's hope in Him that makes the difference. The source of our hope is Jesus. When Jesus walked out of the tomb, He proved He could handle anything we face. A.T. Robertson says, hope rose up with Christ from the dead. I like that picture. When Jesus rose, He brought hope. Because He defeated death. He defeated sin on the cross. He took our sin upon Himself. And by the way, let me just make sure we're all on the same page. Each and every one of us sins. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but if you think you never sinned, go ahead and in your mind. Not one of us. Paul tells us in Romans that every single one of us has sinned, and the wage of that sin, what we deserve for that sin, is what? Death. But praise be to God. In His great mercy, He has offered us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, and to an inheritance that is kept for us in heaven. That's a promise. It is His hope that He offers us. Hope in Him keeps us going. So that hope comes from Him. Hebrews chapter 10, the author of Hebrews says that we should hold unswervingly, unbending to that hope, the hope that we profess. As believers, do we profess we have hope? As believers, do we profess that Jesus is the Son of God? As believers, do we profess that we have peace in Him? As believers, should we not hold on to that hope so that others see that difference in us? Have you ever been around a really hopeful person? Someone who really has hope like we're describing here? And I'm not talking necessarily about just a positive person. I mean, we all enjoy being around people with the idea, the philosophy that the glass is half full, right? That's much more enjoyable than someone that's got the idea that the glass is half empty with a hole in the bottom. It's better, more enjoyable. But this is more than just positivity. It is truly a hope that we can see, that we can experience. We are to be people like that so that people see that difference in us. We are to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Why? The writer says, for He who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Has anybody in here experienced His faithfulness in your life? That was very underwhelming. Have you experienced His faithfulness? God is faithful. Now, he will answer every prayer, but maybe not the way we want Him to answer it. So understand the difference. I've said this many, many times before. He gives us our needs, not necessarily our wants, and we need to know the difference between our needs and our wants. But He is faithful. And let me just pause here for just a second and just say this. If you, sitting there right now, are struggling to think of a time in your life that He has been faithful, I'm not judging, but I would just tell you that's a good indication that you have not fully trusted your life to Him. Because I will tell you, if we surrender to Him fully, He is completely faithful. Every time. Every time. We hope because we know He is faithful. Faithful to provide, faithful to care, faithful for the salvation He offers, the new life He offers, the plans that He offers, faithful for strength to go through the struggles. He, like I said a minute ago, He never said you won't have struggles. He never said come to Me and it's going to be great. He said come to Me and I will be with you always, even through the difficult times. Several years ago, I ran across an article in a journal that doesn't really exist anymore, but called Spiritual Life. And I've held on to this quote because I just find such encouragement in it. It says, as believers, we have the certainty of faith that Jesus lives in the glory of the Father and in our daily lives, transforming us and making us truly resurrection people. He has promised to be with us all days, even to the end of the world, assuring us of His living presence in our lives. Resurrection people. Maybe we should change the name of our church. No longer First Baptist Corpus Christi, but the Gathering of Resurrection People. Yeah, I know, I'd probably get the same thing from them. But think about it. how cool would it be for the rest of our community to know that's where the resurrection people go? What's that?
Mostly.
I don't know what to make of that, but okay. We are to be resurrection people. We're to show that, this resurrection, that Jesus came back from the dead, really changes who we are. And that we have been buried with him. We've surrendered our lives to him. And he has raised us up with him to live for him, to be different. Faith in Jesus brings a vibrant and living hope. Because our source of hope is Jesus. So how do we live with this every day? How do we show people this hope? How do they see hope in us? Let me just tell you, I wrote this down several years ago, and I kind of refer back to it occasionally. It's this: hope looks struggle in the eye, and with full conviction says, God is bigger, and he will get me through even this. Hope is knowing that God is in control and looking trouble in the eye and saying, God's bigger. God is bigger. And he will get me through even this. I'm looking around the room right now and I see faces of people that I know. You've gone through some stuff. And God has been faithful. God has been faithful. That's how we can have hope. And that's how people will see that hope in us, is when we can look at difficulties in the eye and say, God's bigger. God is bigger. And he can get me through even this. We're all going to encounter struggles. Some of us may be going through struggles right now. But remember that God's bigger. God is bigger. And he will be with you through it. I noticed in one of the songs that we sang this morning, the last part, in fact, I think it was maybe the Plans song in the chorus, had the last part of the 23rd Psalm in it, that I will live in the house of the Lord forever. But as I think about this idea of Jesus walking with us through the difficulties, if you go back up into that same psalm, it says, even though I walk through what? The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I like to make the point when we talk about that passage that David, in writing that psalm, did not say, even though I live in the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The old saying, this too shall pass. Life is full. I'm looking around the room, and most of you are old enough to have experienced this. Some of you are not, but most of you are, that life is like this. You have the good days, and you have the not so good days. He's with us through even the valleys. Never forget that. Never forget that. He is with us, and we can find hope in that. We sometimes will struggle. But he's with us. And people need to see that we have that hope and knowing that he's bigger, knowing that he's going to see us through this. In fact, sometimes it's hard for us to put a definition on hope and tell somebody the hope that you have, but it's much easier to show. People see the hope that you have. I can face tomorrow because he lives. I have hope because Jesus is alive. He walked out of that tomb. And that gives us hope. We look. It's easy for us. As I started the sermon today, it's easy for us to get wrapped up in the day-to-day and to lose sight, take our eyes off of the fact that God wins. If y'all didn't know this part, read to the end of the story. God wins. He is victorious already. And so we need to keep our eyes fixed on that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have this beautiful passage of this light that he gives us, and he puts it in jars of clay. Why? Because jars of clay are fragile. And Paul says, so that we will know that this all-surpassing power is from him and not from us. And you go down further in that verse, and he says, so we fix our eyes not on what we can see, because what we can see is temporary. We fix our eyes on what is eternal, or what we can't see, because what we can't see is eternal. So be encouraged today that our hope comes from him, and we fix our eyes on that. Even in the middle of the valleys, in the middle of the struggles, we know that he's bigger and he can overcome. He will overcome. He has overcome. We can have hope today because we are made alive in him through this new birth, through the resurrection. So we fix our eyes on him. Ginger mentioned in the children's time that the disciples were looking for Jesus. If you back up one verse in that passage, they were looking for him because it says, very early in the morning, he went out to a quiet place to be alone and pray. If you want to experience his hope, the best place to start is on your knees, praying to him, praying for him to encourage you and to remind you, to take the distractions away and remind you that he's bigger. He's bigger than anything we face. We are to live resurrected lives with a living hope. My challenge for us as we close is live a resurrected life, not just today, not just tomorrow, but for the rest of your life. Commit to live a resurrected life by being an example of living hope each and every day. The people of our world need to see hope, and they need to know that hope only comes through Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this hope. We thank you that you have offered us a living hope through your death and your resurrection. You give us the opportunity for a new life, a meaningful life, a full life, a life of hope and peace and joy. We thank you for that sacrifice that you made for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us today to live into the hope that you give us. There's no reason for us to worry or to despair because you have already won. Remind us of that in a new and a fresh way today. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we pray it. Amen. Just a moment, I'll have you stand for a time of response. If there's a decision you'd like to make, I'll be here. If when I said what I said earlier about you've never experienced that faithfulness, then you may not have trusted him with your life. If that's you, I'm not going to single anybody out, but if you want to come talk to me about that either during this time or after the service, I would love to talk to you about what it means to truly surrender your life to him and experience that hope. If there's a decision to be made, I'll be here, Mike will be here, Ginger will be here. If you like prayer, we'll be here. But during this time, respond to him and just be reminded that he is the author and perfecter of our faith, and his resurrection gives us hope. Reflect on that as we stand and sing together.
I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. I'm alive.
Seated. I've got a few announcements to make. This is the last Sunday to buy tickets for the Ladies Spring Tea. It's going to be April the 27th from 10:30 to 12:30. We'll have a guest speaker. It's just a great time to connect and get to know other ladies in the church. Those tickets are $20 a piece and will be outside that direction, left, right, whatever way you're facing right now. So also the next day on that Sunday, April 28th, that morning is going to be our youth fundraiser. Our youth fundraiser. The youth will be leading in praise and worship and taking the time to talk with us that morning. And they'll be at the doors. They'll be doing offering in first service and doing some other things in leadership that day. But they will also have envelopes out front in the hallways that you can donate to the youth camp that will help those kids go to camp. And we will also have a meal, food, both after Sunday school for those that go to first service and after this service for those that come attend the service. So looking forward to that. Make sure you're here for that on April 28th. On May the 5th, that morning is going to be our senior adult luncheon. And that'll be actually during this worship service. It'll be after Sunday school. So if you fit that parameter, I'm not going to tell you what the age is. But if you consider yourself a senior adult, feel free to go to that and attend that. Those tickets are $10, and they'll be sold outside the hallway as well. That evening on May the 5th, we're going to have a family movie night. We're going to go to Unsung Hero at Cinemark. And the church is going to offset those tickets. Those tickets are only $5 a piece. But we only have one theater, so there's 100 tickets, and that's all there is. So if you would like to go, please see me outside in the hallway today for that. The church has season passes for the Hooks. We would love for y'all to take advantage of those tickets. We have 4 tickets for each home game and their parking pass. You're going to have to call Chris. He's not here today. He is on his way to a rec conference. So the number is right there. You can call and talk to Chris or talk to Diane for those tickets. Pastor B?
And a rec conference is recreation, just so you know. That's he's not learning crime scene investigation or anything. Last week, I always enjoy being able to shake hands for those who want to come by and say hi. And last week, I realized there's no way out of this room. if I do a benediction here, I'm just in the line to get out of the room. So I'm going to try something totally different today. Be patient. It may or may not work, but I'm going to give you a blessing and a benediction as I walk to the door, and try not to be distracted by that, if you would. Remember that Jesus came out of love. He died because of love, and he rose because of love to give you hope. So may the God of hope and life and love remind you today that you are loved and that you are to live a life of hope. May you be about it today and every day. Amen. We're dismissed.
Hallelujah.